Hey guys, welcome to Rihanna's Lens, where I interact with you about the components in the STEM fields and introduce you to fascinating people who passionately inhabit the scientific and technical frontiers of our society. My name is Rihanna Malhotra, and I'm absolutely elated to share this podcast with all of you. On this episode, I'm joined by a guest who's a geology communicator and makes educational and relatable videos about geology through multiple social media platforms like YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. Since 2020, she has been sharing her passion about geology with her audience through online content creation as well as in-person geology walks. I am so glad to welcome and introduce Becky. Thank you so much for coming on. I cannot wait to begin our discussion.
Thanks for having me.
So firstly, I wanted to ask you, what exactly is it that motivated you to get into geology?
So my story was kind of like, I just kind of stumbled upon it. I never really knew that geology was a like option for something to study until I was already in college. So I was in my second year, I think, or maybe it was the end of my first year of college, and I was still undecided. So I was looking at all these majors, like the list that they have on the website for your school. And I was like trying to figure out what might be interesting for me. And I saw geology and I was like, wow, I didn't even know that was like a thing. So I kind of just like took a leap and switched that day, like when I saw it, which is kind of crazy when you think about it, because I had never even taken a geology class. But I figured if I didn't like it, I could just switch back to something else. So I had the first class, the geology 101, and immediately I was like, okay, this is definitely the right choice for me. And it kind of just like all the puzzle pieces kind of like fell into place, because I realized like I had always been interested in this stuff, but I just never knew that it was like something I could actively pursue.
Right. So were you interested in high school at all? Like when you were introduced to the topic in elementary or high school, were you ever interested in it, or did it like develop later?
So I was interested when I took earth science. I think I took it in middle school, like eighth grade maybe. And I definitely was interested in it. Like I really liked learning about the earthquakes and doing those like where you do like the three circles and then like where the earthquake was, and then like making the topographic maps and everything. I just thought it was fun. But then like I had like a very different idea of what science was when I got to high school, and I kind of had like this idea that I personally wouldn't be able to be a scientist for some reason. Like I thought that I couldn't handle it, or it wasn't smart enough, or it was too much work. And I didn't really continue learning about geology after earth science. Just like most people after they take earth science, they kind of are just like, okay, moving on to like the other classes. And I never like knew that it was something people studied in college. So it kind of never crossed my mind to like continue being interested in it, because I was like, you know, kind of what's the point pretty much? Because a lot of the focus is on things like biology or physics or chemistry. And I didn't really like those sciences very much. So I kind of just had this idea that science was a big no-no for me.
Okay. So I think geology is one subject that you learn in school at first, but it's not given a lot of, you know, weightage as such compared to other subjects. At least for me, my high school experience, I was told about it, but wasn't given that much of importance until like later on. So yeah, that it was still a dabbling interest until college. So then what did your educational journey look like? So if you did not pick, you know, when it's time during the end of high school, you have to pick a subject to pursue a career in. So what did that journey look like?
So when I was in high school, I had no idea what I wanted to study in college. I kind of thought maybe something revolving around, I don't even know what I like thought I would want to study. I got to college, I was undecided. And then when I picked geology, from that point on, I was like full steam ahead. So my geology degree started out with like the basic classes, and then you have to take like the other science classes, like chemistry, physics. I had to take some math classes like calculus. All of that was really great in teaching myself that like I could do a lot more than I thought I was capable of, which was a really cool experience because I feel like a lot of people, a lot of young people, a lot of women, think that maybe they can't do something, especially science or like something STEM related. So it was really, I guess, like empowering for me to like show myself I could do these hard things and take these hard classes. And some of them I didn't do like amazing in, but a lot of the geology classes I did, like I pretty did pretty well in. And just like the experience of getting a geology degree is so unique because it's a mix of the classes, which are kind of hard sometimes because they're science and math, but then you also get the field experience of going on the field trips. They could be like day trips, like on campus even, because I went to school on a Great Lake. So we had access to like some really cool like natural spaces on campus and near campus. So I was really lucky to have that. And then I also was able to do like camping trips with the geology department at my school. We were lucky enough to have like the resources for that and the professors that like organized it and were passionate about it. And then a lot of geology students at usually at the end of their degree, sometimes kind of in the middle, you do some kind of field course. So I did my field camp after I had finished all my other classes. So I had actually walked at graduation and then I wasn't even like officially done with my degree yet. I had to go to this field course for 4 weeks in the summer. And that was a great experience too, because that was another example of learning that I could do things that are scary and hard.
Right, definitely. So then when you were experiencing all these things, what is the first thing that you experienced as a geologist that was like, yeah, this is the field I want to be in, and this is finally that moment that I have found out that this is the career I would want to venture in. So when was that moment?
Wow, that's such a great question. I don't even know. I think it was probably like, I can't think of like one specific moment, but I would have to say it was probably like the first few field trips I took when I was like connecting with other people that were also interested in this stuff. Like it's like really cool because I didn't really hear of geology until like majoring in it. And then all of a sudden there's just like this whole group of people who are also interested in this and also found something that they're passionate about. And that was a really cool experience, especially because leading up to that, I felt kind of lost and kind of like didn't know where I belonged, kind of thing. So it was cool just like bonding with other people that have the same interests as me and learning from each other and just like working together outside. And like it's so, the field of geology is so creative. It's, you have to like have a pretty creative, curious mindset. And that was really interesting to me. It still is interesting to me because there's just like endless things to learn and explore and questions to ask. So I found that really exhilarating.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like once you find a particular group of people that have the same interests as you, and you can talk to them about it and interact with the different ways that geology interests you, that is something that would bind you further into that career. So I think that essential group of people that have the same passions and ambitions as you, I think is so crucial, whether it's in college or later on in your job that you're pursuing, it's so essential.
100%.
So then, as a geologist, what is one of the coolest rock or anything that you have discovered?
I really like well, I have some rock samples next to me that I prepared for this interview, but I really like, I guess, like something that I've seen in person. It's really like sometimes it's something that doesn't even like look that cool, but to me, the cool part is looking at something and like knowing its story and knowing how it got there. So I have this piece right here that it kind of just looks like a pebble. Right. And it kind of just looks like, you know, round piece of rock that you found on the beach somewhere. I did find it on a beach in Maine. But I had known like the history of that area And when I saw this on the beach, I call these chocolate chip cookie rocks because it
Mm-hmm.
kind of looks like a chocolate chip inside a cookie, a big chocolate chip. But essentially what happened here is this like angular piece is an older piece of rock that formed millions of years before the rock that it's in. So the lighter colored rock is granite, and this is some sort of like probably shale or sandstone or something. And what happened was like this big blob of magma just came up through the crust. And the older rocks that were there, they were sitting there, the blob kind of like pushed up through them and shattered it. And chunks of that older rock fell into the magma blob and then cooled. So like it was just this very like interesting series of events that happened that made it so that this looks like a chocolate chip cookie. And I just think it's so cool that you can hold you can hold something and know like the story and like why it looks the way it is, and be able to share that with people is so fun because it's like most people aren't going to walk up to something and be like, I know exactly how that happened, and be so excited and passionate about it.
Right. I mean, I wonder how many rocks I have seen like in my day-to-day life. I'm like, I don't know about, but there might be some big history or story behind it. So
Yeah,
that
most of the time that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure because this, as they say, that rocks or trees are like there since forever. So I
Yeah.
wonder how many rocks that I see like in the beach or anywhere that I'm
Yeah,
just
and I feel the
overwhelmed.
same way about like trees and birds and other things that like I don't know as much about. And like I'm always on a quest to keep learning more now that I like kind of have been shown the beauty of everything and how much there is to learn.
Right, definitely. So, do your family members or anyone that is not in geology ever say, "Hey, what is this rock about?"
Yes, all the time. It's so funny. My boyfriend, he's a history teacher, and he is used to me just like constantly telling him, like, oh my God, this, like while we're driving like an outcrop on the side of the road. And he's like gotten a little bit better at like remembering what I say. And like he'll point something out sometimes and be like, so and so. And I'm always so proud because like a lot of the time he'll like start to be correct. And I'm like, yay, you listened. But yeah, whenever I'm traveling with like friends or I'm on a hike with someone, they're always like, Becky, how did this get here? Like, why does this look like this? Why is this shiny? Where'd the stripes come from? And it's always so fun to be like a little encyclopedia walking with them.
So are you ever like, okay, look, I'm just here for fun. I don't know what you're asking me about, but it's a rock.
I know sometimes I'm like sarcastic like that. If I'm like with someone that I'm comfortable with, I'll be like, I don't know. I didn't do my research before this hike, but if it's somewhere that I'm like in the area that I'm from, a lot of time I'll know. But yeah, if it's a new place, I'll be like, I have no clue, but I can give you my best guess. But I always love being honest, like with people. I'll be like, if especially if they show me a rock that they picked up somewhere and I don't know where they picked it up, or if they like bought a rock somewhere and I don't have any like background information about it, I'll be like completely honest and that I have no clue.
So then, what is the prettiest rock that you have seen?
Probably this labradorite.
Oh,
That's probably my favorite. It's technically a mineral, but also a rock. It's a type of feldspar that's in it that when you move it around in the light, it's kind of cloudy here today, so it's kind of hard to tell, but it's more like bluish green in the sunlight. It looks kind of gray here. But I have a couple of videos on my social media where if you rotate it, oh,
that
there you go. And it's because the way that the light rays move through the crystal structure and bounce back to our eyes, it sends us back certain like waves of light at different angles. So it's kind of the same thing as bird feathers, like bluebirds, any bird with blue feathers for the most part, that's how it works too. It's not really that they have a blue pigment. It's the way that the physics of the light works, which is it's kind of crazy.
Right. I mean, it's also onto the perception of our eyes as well, like how different birds or animals, they see things differently. So
Yeah,
you
it's
ever
so interesting.
wondered how like if a rock, like suppose this one that like radiates a different amount of light or a different light, color of light. Have you ever wondered what different animals or birds see it as?
That's so fun. I love that question. Yeah, I always wonder about like how, like I've heard that like cats can see like stripes on our bodies. I don't know if that's true at all, but apparently humans have like stripes or something to cats. I could be completely wrong, but I always think about like what the world must look like to a cat or a dog or a bird and what colors they see and like if they can see certain wavelengths that we can't and like vice versa. So it is really interesting to know like what the world might look like to another creature that we see completely differently.
I know exactly. Even to a different person, you know, everything looks
Yeah.
different as per their percept, as per their preferences or anything. Everything's so different
Yeah.
to everyone.
Like we can agree that like something's blue, but it could be like a slightly different blue to one person than the other person.
Exactly. And what is the most challenging thing that you have experienced as a geologist?
I would say when I had a job in the construction industry was probably the most challenging for me personally. There were a lot of really great challenges and things that I learned through it. But ultimately, I'm glad I'm not in that field anymore. I think that the field I'm in now of geology communication is much better suited to me. And a lot of people love working in the construction industry. But for me, it was really just like, there was a lot of travel, like constant driving, a lot of different inconsistent hours. There was also just like a lot of challenges with being the only woman in a lot of spaces and kind of feeling like isolated in that way. There are a lot of really great women in the field, but for me, I didn't really like work with that many, and I wished it was more. Because when I did work with a woman on a job, it felt like I not only felt safer, but also just like more like maybe understood, I guess is the word, like that I would be listened to maybe a little bit more and I could like let my guard down a tiny bit. But yeah, there's a lot of pros and cons to the industry. I would say that was probably the most challenging for me, but I just love like constantly learning and constantly challenging myself in like my current field where I am now, constantly pushing myself out of my comfort zone. Like when I first started making videos, I was really uncomfortable on camera. That was a big challenge I overcame. And just like learning what works and what doesn't. And yeah, it's a constant learning process for sure.
Absolutely. So, did you face any discrimination as a woman in geology?
A lot of the time, I think it was my age as well as my gender. When I would show up on a job and it would be like me and like two other men or something, a lot of the time I was met with respect, but at the same time, you could tell that like they're kind of wondering, like, does she know what she's doing? Like, why is she here? Like, how is she gonna tell us what to do? Because a lot of the time I'd be kind of like in charge of like telling them like where to drill or when to stop and like things that they had to like listen to me for, and they're probably wondering like this girl looks like she just got out of school, like what is she doing telling me what to do? And I did just get out of school, but you know that was my job and I was just trying to do my job. But I mean, I did face like a lot of I did meet a lot of really wonderful people, but the bad experiences do tend to stand out more even if they're not as often. So the few times that I did face discrimination, it wasn't really always like, hey, you're a woman, like you can't do this job. It was more so being objectified and not, yeah, and just being treated like I wasn't there to work, that kind of thing. But that was a lot of the time from people that I wasn't working directly with. It was more so people, other people that were on the site or like even just someone on the street. And it was kind of just something I had to accept was part of the job sometimes, which isn't very fun.
Yeah, I mean, when it gets to the point to just accept that something like this happens, I mean, it's really not fair, I would say, because If a man with the same amount of qualifications and the same, if they wear even an attire that is not, that is completely more revealing as they speak. So, nothing to
And
be
I would
scared about.
like intentionally make sure that I looked like not put together. Like I wouldn't wear any makeup. I would wear my hair like in a low ponytail. I'd wear like baggy pants just to make sure that like I wasn't, you know, wearing anything that someone could like comment on. But even then, like that doesn't matter, you know? Like
Exactly.
it's the people saying these things that the fault is on, not what the women are wearing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're in that place to basically work, right? And everyone's together. So why are they giving the attention? Basically, they are the ones that are putting all the attention on the clothing that you're wearing, right? It's your work, so you're for a specific goal, right? And
Exactly. Especially when you're wearing like a hard hat and like a vest and like work boots. It's like, do I look like I'm here to flirt with you? Like, I'm just here to do my job and go
exactly. And then what led you to start geocommunication? So what made you decide to make videos and explore more about geology with your viewers and audience?
Yeah, so that experience at that job that where I wasn't very happy kind of inspired that a little bit because it was actually in 2020 when the pandemic started that I had left that job and was feeling just kind of like discouraged because it was my first job out of college and I had all these hopes graduating with my degree that like once I got a job in my field, I would be set. I would be happy, fulfilled. Like that was my end goal. And then when I felt disappointed from that, when I had reached that goal, it was very discouraging for me because I still had this passion and this interest in geology, but I felt like I wasn't able to use it. And I felt like although this field had its own things that I could learn from it, and its own challenges and things that I could get from it, it wasn't what I thought, and I wasn't really specifically talking about geology a lot of the time. Like I was looking at rocks sometimes, like rock cores. I was looking at soils, which did use my degree, but for the most part, I wasn't really like expanding my knowledge on geology. And I wanted to keep that alive, keep my like interest alive. So I started making videos first on YouTube. Just like explaining why I like geology. My first video, I think, was like 10 things I 10 reasons I love geology, or like 10 reasons why I'm glad I got my geology degree. And that really helped me kind of like start bringing that to life again. And then making videos also is kind of a way for me to like push myself out of my comfort zone and find more like what I'm interested in, what I want to continue learning, not just what I want to share with people, but what I find interesting about the world and what I want to like dive into further. So I'm still on that journey, but that really was the spark for me, for sure.
So, do you ever receive any comments that like have taught you something or have excited you to delve further into a topic?
Yeah, I love when people comment things, like especially when I make a video about like one archaeological site or a building, because I like making videos that shows like the building materials of like a certain famous monument. For example, I just made a YouTube video recently about the Statue of Liberty's pedestal and the granite that it's made of. And I went to the quarry that got the granite for that and everything. So when I post videos like that, it's really cool seeing people's minds like open up and think like, oh my God, like I never thought about that aspect of like buildings and monuments and like what I could be looking at. And so it's cool when they like mention something in their hometown, or they'll be like, oh, where I live, there's this quarry where they got limestone for the Empire State Building. And like it's so cool when people you see like the connections that they make to your video. So then sometimes I will dive in and make a video about like a certain building that I didn't know about that used like the same rock or something like that. So I love when people comment and share what excites them.
Right. I mean, more often than not, monuments or anything or buildings, they have so much going on behind the scenes, you know, the rocks, the materials used, everything, and the amount of labor that was used to build that one monument. There's so many things that has gone behind the things that we're just viewing and have been the wonders of the world. But there's a lot of scenes behind everything.
Yes, definitely. And I love finding those little details and sharing it with people because a lot of the time people never think twice. Like I had never really thought about that stuff until the last couple of years. So it's cool just like diving into something that you most people don't really think about on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And what made you want to advocate for STEM along with geology as a geocommunicator?
I follow so many awesome creators that are in the STEM field. And personally, I love learning not just about geology, but just like about everything. So I love learning. Recently, I've been learning more about birds. And I'm friends in person with a few scientists, like botanists and ecologists, and or even just like people who are artists. Like I just met up with an artist who is making this really cool installation in my area about like the ecosystem of a certain park. So one of the aspects that she wanted to talk about is geology. So it's really cool because that's an example of how geology, art, biology, everything interconnects. Everything is so interconnected that I feel like if I just talked about geology, it wouldn't be as expansive.
Right.
Geology is what I know about, but I just love sharing with others, other wonderful science communicators. And so that could be anywhere from space communicators to biologists to foragers, like Chaotic Forager. I love her. Astro Alexandra, so many wonderful people. And then, of course, my fellow geocommunicators.
Right, definitely. So you also mentioned that you do like in-person geology walks. So what's your role in that and what have you experienced?
Yeah, so most of the time that is in my area where I live in New York State. So I have like relationships with local organizations like land conservancies or just like educational centers that either they'll reach out to me or I'll go to like one of their events and we'll like kind of talk about putting together an event or something. So I've done walks for school classes where we walked around a city and talked about the urban geology. So I would point out, I would do a little research beforehand and we'd pick out certain stops at buildings on the streets. And we'd go and I'd be like, hey, so what do you see here? And I'd let them like observe first. And then I would tell them like what I know about it. But it was really fun. This one I did with I'd say the age range was probably like 8 to 12. And it's really cool because they were pointing out things that I hadn't seen when I was like planning the walk. They'd be like, oh, what's this? And I'd be like, oh, I didn't even see that. Like, and then I would learn something new. So I just love in-person events too, because as much as I like connecting with people online, there really is an aspect of in-person communication that is really wonderful. Just getting to see what people connect with and the questions they have, and seeing their faces as you're explaining something, and seeing when it connects with them versus when they're kind of like, what is she talking about? So it's also just like a great way for me to learn about my communication skills, and what I can do better both in person and online.
I mean, like kids are, they're so inquisitive. So the more questions they ask you, you're like, okay, so you even develop that more of an interest in you and you gain more knowledge yourself as well, you know? So they ask you so many questions, like asking why to every single question, just every single answer or anything. It's like, okay, but why? And then you're like, okay, it goes like this. And then you just develop your own knowledge as well.
I think kids are amazing because they really, that's like one of the things I love about geology is that it makes me feel like a kid again. It brings back my childlike wonder, and it kind of like awakens that part in me where I'm like, why does that look like that? Because that really is what science is. It's asking questions. And I think kids really do that naturally.
Yeah, definitely. So, has a child ever asked you the most insane question and you're like, okay, let me think about it and I'll get back to you. So was there anything like that?
I don't know. Not anything I can think of, but something that did surprise me was I did have this one kid that like already knew a bunch of stuff that I was saying. Like he was like, I would start talking about something and he would be like, yeah, and then this and this. Like I was talking about like glacial lakes, and he already knew like the name of it, when it formed. This kid was like 8. And I was just like blown away because it really just like reminded me like how cool kids are and like how they can surprise you and what they're interested in.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So what are your plans for the future?
That's a great question. I feel like right now I'm kind of just figuring things out. I really love where I'm at right now. There's a lot of fun things that I'm working on, and I would love to just continue what I'm doing. Because I really find that sharing my passions and sharing what I'm interested in, showing people that you can be interested in something and pursue it as a career, even if you think maybe you can't, is really important because I didn't really discover that until later in college. And I wish I had known that earlier. And I just love science communication. I love communicating with people, sharing what I'm interested in, learning what people like, and getting people to learn and see a new perspective of the world is just really, really rewarding for me. So any way that I can continue doing that, if I could make this my career, long-term career, that would be the dream for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. And is there any advice that you would like to share to anyone wanting to pursue geology?
Yes, I mean, I guess just like, if you're interested in something, whether it's geology or anything STEM or just anything, just start like learning about it, start making things. Specifically, if you're interested in science communication, I was just giving someone advice about this too, is really just start making stuff and start learning, start doing stuff. You don't need anyone's permission. You don't need all these fancy tools and stuff that helps, but you really just have to start somewhere. And for me, that was the hardest part of like thinking I was allowed to do it, thinking like that I had to wait until like a certain thing happened or whatever is really just like the biggest obstacle for me personally. So just like get a book or start watching videos or start making your own videos and learning about things through that. Because I feel like I needed someone to tell me that, like, just start. You'll figure it out on the way. Like my first videos were not great. So,
but I mean, it's the progress that counts, you know?
Yeah, it's really rewarding. Like if I had automatically just gotten to this point right away, it wouldn't have been as rewarding to see myself grow.
Right. Well, that was some really amazing advice. And that's it for this week's episode. Thank you so much, Becky, for coming on my podcast. I had
Thank
such an
you.
Amazing time talking to you.
Yes, it was so great talking to you. And I love what you're doing here. I think it's really important. Like what I was just saying, you're spreading the word about STEM fields and showing people what's out there. And I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I also watched some of your videos. They're so interesting. I couldn't stop watching one video after the other.
Oh my God, thank
I was
you.
Like, wow, this is so interesting. So
thank
if you
you
want
so
to shout
much.
Out your like social media, please do so.
Sure. Yeah. My TikTok is Geo Beckley, and it's also Geo Beckley on Instagram. So I post videos both on Instagram and TikTok, but on Instagram, I also have stories where I can interact more than TikTok. And then I also post photos and stuff with longer captions. So, oh, and YouTube. I have a YouTube channel. You just type in Geo Beck in the search bar, and those are more longer form videos. If you like my stuff on TikTok and Instagram, they're pretty much just like longer, more detailed productions on YouTube. And I also have a TV show with a local streaming platform and production company in my area called Hudzy. Because I live in the Hudson Valley. So we have a show that we make together about geology called New York Rocks. But all of the links are in my Linktree bio thing in my Instagram. So you can find it there.
Yeah, that is just amazing. Thank you so much, Becky, again. And to let all of you know, this podcast is now available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the other listening platforms. So, yeah, keep watching and stay tuned for more. Thank you so
Yes.
much, Becky.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.